As some of you know, I already, people were asking to name my baby. We were taking a lot of polls and figuring out what the name should be. And I took all of your suggestions very seriously, of course. Ultimately speaking, we decided today upon the name late last night, like 12 in the midnight approximately.
I fell asleep.
And the baby's name is Atara Bracha. Today I was at shul, and my very close friend, Rabbi Natan Leibowitz, was the Baal Korah, and he was right next to me, and the nice two of us together. Another friend of mine came to give the baby name as well. A very small crowd. There was very few people there, but it was a small crowd of my friends. And in America, someone makes a baby, you know, name a baby. I was like, oh, Malsav, nah. Everyone sings. So I said the name, they're like, Malsav, I'm the next person. He also named the baby right after me. His baby's name was Hodiah. Nice baby, nice name. Again, same thing, Malsav, Shagzan, they went on afterwards. So my friend Seth said to me afterwards, gosh, like, they didn't give you so much love over there, that one. Not a lot of love in that baby naming of yours. So I thought about it, and I happened to think that the lack of love at a baby naming is extremely appropriate and is deserved. You don't deserve love at the baby naming. I'll explain to you why based on the shoes I'm about to give you. I think. This is what I think.
What does a tower mean?
A tower is like a crown. So Rosh Hashanah, the crowning the king. Why we didn't choose Malka is a complex story. I'm not telling anyone right now about this. Maybe later on we'll choose about it, but not for the tips.
Queen.
So that's Melech, Malka, we want that for Rosh Hashanah. Okay. The climax, and you'll find out yourselves, those people who are Ashkenazim, who are in Davin with us, the Sfarim Davin elsewhere, they might hear the same shmooze, but every single year, Rav Miller gives the same exact shmooze. I'm not going to tell you everything he says, but I'll tell you one thing he says that's very important. It doesn't matter the same thing every year, because it's such a kadosh, so holy, you watch him speak. He's just a pure person, he's inspired just hearing him open his mouth, no matter what he says. But he says every single year, one point that always rings very loudly for me, is that we always follow how things close. The way things end off is how we're left with a taste in our mouth, and that is the way that the entire wrap-up is in the closing arguments. And our closing arguments, Yom Kippur, an Eva. Closing arguments that we have is an Eva. The lashon is like, kol holich achar hachisum. Everything goes after how we finish up the job. And therefore you'd imagine that an Eva should be, and it really is, the climax of our davening. And you'll be sitting there exhausted, your legs cramping up and you hurting you as the ark is open and you're sitting up, the cover of the ark. By the way, if you can't sit up, you can sit down. If you're very weak, you're allowed to. Most will try to stand over if you can. You sit down if you want. And you'll notice in your sidurim a glaring omission. As you're davening, and we're saying Asham Levagadnu many times, and we're saying besides that, Al Chait many times, both in your personal esrei, starting from Mincha Erev Yom Kippur, and in the Chaz repetition, I recommend everyone should have themselves an Arsh Kol Siddur or something like that, a Machzor, where you have a paragraph for each one of these Ashamus and each one of these Al Chait, so you know what you're talking about. You're like, oh my gosh, I did that one, I really did that one. It's something that's much more alive. I recommend it highly. It's part of the Chuba process. I have myself, I bring with me. You're more than able to share if you're a quick davener. Hopefully, you won't be though. But it makes your davening that much more meaningful. You should all have something like that on hand. When it comes to the Elo, we leave out a tremendously vital part of our davening. We don't have the al-chaits. There's no al-chait in the Elo personal davening, and in the Elo of the Chazar Zashatz. It's missing. It was so important to have it even in Mincha. You'd imagine, if everything follows the closing, why am I omitting that part of our davening? And in replacement of that, instead of the al-chait, we sum it all up into one chait we focus on. But it's a chait that I think most of us, we feel very comfortable saying in front of Shemayim, that you're not guilty of. And yet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu feels, the Rabban, I should say, feel, they need to stress this one, forget about all chaits, all of them, I'm going to focus on one small point, and the highlight of the Ne'ilah, the unique part of the Ne'ilah, something called Oshek Yadenu, which will translate loosely as being theft. So you and I go from al chait with my mouth, which we probably are all guilty of, al chait with my eyes, we're certainly all guilty of. We scratch the entire thing for the Ne'ilah, for the ending. And we say, I'll chait for my theft, which we're probably not so guilty of. Why? Why would I take that route instead of the I'll chait working so well for me until now, which has carried us through the entire day, even Mincha Erev Yom Kippur? I abandon the natural, normal format which speaks to me, And I go to a root which doesn't speak my language at all. It's not relevant to me. I don't do these things. I don't steal, Baruch Hashem. I'm not that low. What's the shot? Question number one. Question number two. Something I realized only this year. Is the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, when he describes the need for tshuva, he says, he quotes a pasuk that describes that you have to do a vidui, you have to confess your crime. But the lashon of the crime, he says, kasru ma'altem v'Hashem. He quotes a specific crime that you may have done. A crime I'm pretty sure that none of us have ever done. Pretty sure. It's called mi'ila. Mi'ila is a very unique crime. Something that is kadosh. Something that is holy. Someone is sanctified for the use of the base of Mikdash that you get personal benefit out of. If I would sanctify my home for the base of Mikdash usage, and when it rains, you run inside to protect your hair from getting wet, you'd be over the Isra Mila for using property in the base of Mikdash for your own personal gain. And the Rambam, when he describes the Hilchos Tshuva of a regular chetidit, a regular crime you may have committed, he says, the pasuk says, Uma'altem, when you commit the Mila crime, you must do a vidui right now. Mi'ilah is the term used for all crime, it sounds like. Last week's Parsha, when Moshe Rabbeinu is told by God's Baruch Hu, you will not go into Israel, you will die outside of Israel, it's because you and your brother Aaron, ma'altem bi, you committed a crime, mi'ilah, against me. How so? What mi'ilah did they commit against him? They hit the rock, they didn't speak to the rock, but that's mi'ilah? Why is that mi'ilah? And the Rambam in Hilchos Mi'ilah, in Parak Ches, Lach Ches, goes on to great details to explain how much you have to treat Kedusha, the holy items of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in that your mere utterance of a word which makes something holy, if you use it for personal gain, you violate a tremendous amount. And the question is, why are we referring to Mi'ilah as the answer of all crimes, that is the Ab, that is the archetype of all crimes, when it's so specific? Do you guys even know there's a Masechet called Masechet Mi'ilah? Do you even know about that? It's not so studied, it's not as often as maybe as Pesachim, or as Makos, or Sanhedrin. Pesachim is a very unique set of halachas. But Chazal, the Rambam, and Hilchos Tshuva, and the Torah in last week's Parsha, use Mi'ilah, Uma'altem, Ba'Hashem, as the code name for every crime that we commit. And it seems out of place a little bit. That was question number two. Okay, question number one is why do we have Mi'ilah? Why in the Ila do we have the dropping of the Al Chayt, speak our language a lot, and instead we highlight something that's not really so relevant to us, we think, which is called Osha Gedenu? Let me get to the answer of Mi'ilah first, and I'll use this to build off and answer the other question we have as well. I heard, actually, Reb Olshan told this to me, that 18 years ago, I was learning in Yeshiva where he was in the Kolo, and he was in my Chavrusa during lunch break. You just know, by the way, such pops out after it exists, you can get Chavrusa with Rebbe during lunch break. Shabbat guys were a little ahead of you, so they probably got most of it already, but when they leave, you should just be aware, you should try to grab some Rebbe and learn during lunch break. I learned very also, it was a Kolo guy in Yeshiva where I was learning at the time, and he told me the following shot, quarter of Soloveitchik, that the reason why we discuss Osh Yedin with theft, Da'afka Yom Kippur, is because we commit a biggest crime, many of them, every day. We steal. Now, most of you would deny stealing. But I'll give you an example, and then I'll explain to you how we steal as well. A number of years ago, I asked one of my rabbis to borrow this car. And they gave me the keys to their car. They're very generous to their car. And I got in the car, I turned on the radio. I was driving the car, cruising around. Hey, what's going on over there? And the music was blasting. And there was a Goyish song on it. I wasn't such a firm guy at the time. It was an Irish song, man. And I was like, listen to it, like, you know, bopping the beat. And I realized that my Rebbe, who lent me the car, would not be happy if I did this. He wouldn't want me listening to this music in his car. So I shut the music off. I wasn't the firmest guy in the world. But I realized that my Rebbe gave me something to use in a certain way, and he would not want me to use it for this reason. So I shut the music off. I'm not a tzaddik. You know, I'm not saying I get old power for that, but I think it was a sensitivity that I happen to have had for my Rebbe's wishes. Soloveitchik says, when you hate your heart in Al-Khayt, when you say Al-Khayt, I look at the thing I should look at. I said something I should never have said. Those are all very specific examples. What you really should confess is to a crime of theft. Why? Because the Kodesh Baruch Hu said, I'll have a world, and I want to create you in my world. I want to give you every opportunity to succeed in my world. And therefore I give you eyes, so you can see people in need and help them out. I give you a mouth, so you can come to me and daven and need my help. I give you hands so you can lay phylacteries, wrap and tefillin. I give you feet so you can run around to mitzvah, to shul, to a shir. I give you all of these things. And you say, God, thank you for those eyes you gave me. But I'm going to choose to use them in a little different direction than you gave them to me. And I said, look at things I shouldn't be looking at. The mouth, the ability to speak, I appreciate what you've done for me. But I have something else I want to tell my friend, if you don't mind. I'm just going to tell him a little secret or something about someone else that I'm not really excited about. Or I use foul language. You're stealing. You're stealing. That's what God gave it to you for. How dare you take a gift that God gave you and use it for a reason He didn't give you for? And therefore, we confess. You're missing all the personal alchemy. You're right, you're missing it. But it's all under one big category called being a thief. I am guilty as charged of being a thief. I use God's body that He lent me. He only lent it to you, but I hope for your sake, it's only a loaner. That you're going to live well past it. When your body leaves the world, your soul will not leave the world. So He loans you something on condition to use it in a certain way to help you out. And in the end, you didn't use it that way. Lahavdil, imagine you tell your parents you need to have money to buy some medicine because you're sick. And your parents would gladly give it to you to help you get better. And instead you went and you fed an addiction that you had, which hurts your body. Your parents would be so upset, not only because you lied to them, because they gave you something to help you, and in the end you hurt yourself with it. It's the most painful thing that a parent could have a child do, besides the lack of telling the truth. But they try to help you and you use it to hurt yourself. You're a thief. So we say, instead of each individual discussion, this, I did that, forget the whole thing. Bottom line, because brother, I'm not honest with you. You gave me these things which my neshama wanted so badly before I got here, so I could be a great person. And I took it, my eyes, I took my mouth, I took everything. And I stole from you. And I confess the guilt of my crimes. And that's dafka why it's called me'ilah. Every crime you commit is me'ilah. Because everything you decide has two options. You could be a kadosh. And that's what you were given for. Hashem sanctified your body, your physical body. Your body's a nothing. Might as well be an animal. It doesn't matter your physical body. But by putting a soul in it, it became special. You take a special physical body and you use it for physical, you take a special neshama and you combine it and you sanctify a physical body with it. But you take the same physical body and you ignore the neshama and you use it for physical needs that God has not allowed for, you're over this or me'ilah. And every crime you commit is me'ilah. This is theft, it's stealing. I heard a fascinating shot that I read just now in the Sefer, quoting the Vilna Gaon. The word ashamnu, we say ashamnu, but God, ashamnu means, ashema means guilty, ashamed. But it's in the word shmama. What does shmama mean? You know what shmama means? It means destruction. I destroyed something. I destroyed, you gave me the most beautiful, most precious thing in the world. You gave me opportunity. You gave me time. You gave me a chance. I took your gift, I spat in its face, and I returned it to you afterwards. Thank you. Thank you for the gift. I used it in my own way. You destroyed it. And Bagadu. Bagadu means you were not loyal. I was a traitor to you. I took what you gave me, which you gave me for my sake. You gave it to me for my purpose, to help myself out. And the worst nightmare you could possibly imagine is I used it not only to help myself. I didn't just waste it. I used it to hurt myself. How about I imagine a man gives his wife perfume for the anniversary because he likes the smell of it. And she can do three things with it. She can use it when you go out with your husband on an anniversary, because that smell, it's nice, it's romantic. She can take it, she can chuck it in the garbage and waste it. She can use it to seduce another man. She used to get attention to someone else, another man. Can you imagine the pain that goes into a husband, his wife, a gift for them, for two of them to bond together? It's one thing she just chucked it, I don't like this, and she chucked it. Okay, that's low. But to take that same gift and use it to opt to stray from her husband is the most painful thing you can imagine. It's the most painful thing. My wife told me a story on the way in. I asked her for a good story. Show me a nice story. There was a group of young women who survived the Holocaust. They lost their whole family, but they were all together. And they were taken to Switzerland. And it happened to be that their profession was they were seamstresses. They were able to sew. And they all started in the same factory. Someone very generous hired them and paid them a weekly wage. And they sewed to their fingers to the bone. And at the end of the week, they got a paycheck. And all the women except for one went out and they spent money because they haven't been able to spend money in years. And they bought this dress. They bought that food, that luxury. They were so excited. The woman didn't buy anything at all. And everyone's like, what's she saving for? Next week, same thing. They worked to the bone. And took the money and they went to watch the movies. They went to buy. And everyone did, except for the same woman again, didn't buy anything. And the third week finally comes and finally we went out to the store. She bought something and they found it in a box. There was nothing to know what she saved her money for. Went over her, they're begging her. She's like, I don't know, I want to show you. I'm not sure I want to show you. Please, would you show us? And she took out of the box two beautiful silver candlesticks. She said, we're lacking in holiness right now. I brought these to light Shabbos candles for us. Get back to the brother. And they all were crying. And they were inspired. This woman eventually had two children. When she died, these candlesticks meant the world to who she was. She gave one to each child as a lesson of how to live your life. Why don't you imagine for a second what would happen if one of those children just wasn't so interested, wasn't inspired by it. She took that silver and she melted it down to make nice hubcaps for her car. Or to give herself a nice silver tooth. Imagine the chutzpah. Imagine the gall, the nerve of that person who took something so precious, so meaningful, and squandered. Not only did they just not chuck it in the garbage, but they used it for such silly, ridiculous things. The person who gave it would be so embarrassed. I wish I had never given it to you. I wish I gave both to your sister. That's a thought that would cross my mind for sure. Because you squandered an opportunity to be special. To take something meaningful and share with your family. You squandered it. Do you know why the baby naming is not a big deal? I'll tell you why. Because at this point in time, you've earned nothing. What should you get congratulated for? Being a husband to your wife? God grants you a child? You gave a name to the child? Mazel tov. It means good luck. We say it means congratulations, which is really what we say it for. But it means good luck. Because you just brought into the world a very dangerous thing. You now brought in the world spirituality and physicality, and you mesh them together, and you may be making one big mi'ilah. You may be having to ask God for forgiveness every single day for being a thief. So good luck. Don't pat yourself on the back. You can do anything. You act like any other animal in the world acts. This is the hard part. At the bar mitzvah, what are they going to say to you? At your child's funeral when they're 120 and you're in Shemayim, what are they going to say about the child? That's where you should be congratulated. If the report's a good one. But you don't deserve a pat on the back for just having a baby or giving it a name. Pat on the back comes when you take that challenge and use it the right way. We're all going to say this in the Ewo. We're going to say, when we say the word Oshin Gedina, we're going to know exactly what it means to us. We're going to know that we're guilty of all these crimes, all the al-chaits, but forget every individual one. I can just scratch the whole thing and sum it up in one word, is that I'm a thief. I stole from God. I stole with your eyes. I stole with your mouth. The question is, how are you going to fix that problem? What are you going to do about it? You could ignore, I said this to you the other day, you could ignore everything that you hear. You're allowed to ignore it. Then we have a kofar today. You cannot pay the kofar according to some opinions. You could ignore it. But then when you go back to your maker, he says about the candlestick case, I wish I'd never given it to you. Because you blew it. And I gave you a gift. And you used it to hurt me, not to help me. Not to get close to me. You took your husband's perfume and you used it to do other things besides be close to your husband. I wish I'd never given it to you before. Machlokas in the Gemara, in Erevin, whether or not creating mankind was good or bad. And I hate to break it to you, but the conclusion of the Gemara was it was a mistake. Because we do more bad things than we do good things. And we're all guilty. Everyone is guilty. Maybe some of us have more good than bad, but we're all part of that race that messes up more than it succeeds. To be conscious, to be aware of it, to realize that this is not my body, this is a loner. The eyes that God gave me, He gave me for one reason. A pretty girl walks by, I'm naturally drawn, I would like to look. That's your test, that's it, that's your test. Will you do an action right now that will make God feel closer to you? Like, imagine there's a girl walk by and your wife's there. Would you look at the girl? I hope not. And your wife would see, I don't have eyes except for you. My husband is so loyal and faithful to me. And that brings you together. That makes you closer. That's why God gave you a body to be closer to Him. This Yom Kippur is a time that we try to come into grips. And by the way, we're coming into very difficult times because we're going afterwards to Vayna Zmanim. Which is the time that you're able to use your body for many things that you want. And the yeshiva's on session for someone, everybody's kicking you in the pants. Say, listen, I haven't seen you well. You're not doing so well right now. You must kick yourself in the pants. You realize you're on a loan. You got a gift for a reason. You're in Eretz Yisrael. Areas of town are 15 minutes from the old base that Mikvah used to be. Take those areas and to make them a place of not spirituality is the most painful thing for God to watch. Because we confess our Oshek Yadeinu, our mistakes that we've made of using things the wrong way, which we zocha, to figure out a way. I'm happy to be here to help you out if you want. To take these gifts and use our perfume only for the purpose of being close to our husband. Or use those candlesticks only for the purpose of sanctifying the Shabbos in my Shabbos home. I want to apologize if I offend anyone. This is Zman of Yom Kippur and demands a slicha and mechila. A Rebbe in general, I'm supposed to be sharp with the students sometimes. I may have sharp with some of you guys. I would ask a personal mechila from all of you, but right now, communally, hope you forgive me if I wronged you, if I was harsh with you, if I said something I should have said to you. I certainly forgive you in return for the few of you who may have done anything that even needs to thing. But this is a year right now where Rosh Hashanah, Tzev Tshuva, Yom Kippur, it's time for us to try to work a little harder to set our body moving over our neshama. That our neshama should have came over our body and be able to sanctify Kodesh Baruch Hu. Baruch Hashem.